Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
My love, tell me what it's all about. Welcome to News with My Fiance. With Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. I am Morgan Jones.
I am DJ Ambush.
And we back.
On the wheels of steel.
I haven't heard it called that in a while. No, oh, okay. A little scritch. Put some scritch on it.
I'm so good at it.
Okay. Well, we're going to get a DJ performance later on in the show. Courtesy DJ Ambush. Look like they got some. They're ready. They brought a lot of crates in here with you. The wheels of steel.
I did. I didn't bring a lot of crates. I brought a crate with a lot of records in it. Okay. A crate full.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Chock full.
So what I do. Wake up early.
Okay.
Dig the crates.
Okay.
Create the crate.
Okay.
Get it ready.
Yeah.
All to come in here and not play music. So.
How do you meet some of today's challenges, you know, as a DJ? You know, getting crates into some of these smaller booths and stuff. Like, how do you do that? How do you prep for that?
I didn't realize this would be an interview today. Well, since you asked.
Yes. Since you want to know so
since
much.
Since you want to know so much, I'm not a DJ. And I don't know how.
Joke's on you.
Yeah. You want to talk about those challenges? Yeah. Let's talk about the challenges of not being a DJ. Okay. I no longer get in any venues for free.
Oh, my God.
I have to say I'm with someone else, you know? I'm with the DJ. I don't get to say I am the DJ.
Right. Man.
Do you want to talk more about it? Or
no, those are some challenges. I didn't see that coming. And I appreciate your honesty. That's right, guys. This is what you've tuned in for. Hot foolishness.
Good morning, fiancés.
Morning, y'all.
How are we today? Lots of things happened overnight. And I don't actually have, like, full stories and answers. So it's like, do you bring them up or? Unsure if I'm supposed to even mention, you know?
We got a quick text, immediate text.
Good morning.
I'm C's. What up, C's?
Good morning, C's.
He said, I'm calling Don Old Trump on y'all's name intro. Morning, fam, C's. You know, we just in here, you know, faking identities, you know, hiding from the ops, depending on the day of the week. Hey, I might be a Morgan Jones. Who knows? You know, who's answering whose phone? Who's returning whose emails? Who's showing up for whose appointments?
Okay, I'm going to stop us here.
Okay.
Because.
All right, baby. All right.
Shout out to my parents who share everything, you know? but the example has been made for me that I don't want that. You know?
The example they set, you're just like, I don't want it.
Every, and I do mean every time. My phone rings and it either says dad's cell or mom's cell. And I answer, hey, mama. And my dad's like, what's up, girl? What you doing? What? Why are you here? What? And then immediately after, you know, whatever that greeting is, then I hear the other in the background. Oh, well, you know, your mom's phone died. Or...
something, right.
My phone doesn't work. Or also, those folks' phones never work.
No. Mm-hmm. Their phone's been stopped working. I don't even know why you bug them so much. You know their phones don't work.
Wow. Okay.
You know it. You know?
That's cool. What I know for sure is they don't hear them ring. That's what I know for sure. I don't know for sure that the phones don't work. Every time I see those phones, they're working.
AJ said, got up early to listen to y'all.
Good morning, AJ.
Been waiting. How early you been up, AJ?
You gotta go back to sleep. You need rest. AJ.
Oh yeah, for real. She was doing a double duty, right? With city council meeting.
Yes, yes. We will be getting into some of the city shenanigans that have been going on.
That's a very pleasant way to put it. The shenanigans.
Yeah.
The shenanigans of it all.
And the truth is that if we continue to let them shenan, they will shenan again.
Yeah.
And I want no part.
Wait a minute.
That is an absolute stolen joke. I saw that on the internet.
Oh, wow. I did like the Matrix. Holy smokes.
This is how I know that you really don't pay attention to my content. Because I definitely had that in like an unrefined sophisticate slide.
How long ago?
A while ago. I mean, do you want me to pull it up for you? Would you forget it? Are you going to forget it now?
I think,
you see what I'm saying? Like,
no, I think I will.
You'll forget it.
Yeah.
And so the next time I say something like that, you'll be like, woo.
Yeah, the amount of times I have showed you something that I laughed heartily at, and you're like, yeah, you showed me that before. Or yeah, I showed this to you last year. I sent you that last year. I'm like, oh.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So,
can I ask y'all, is that even a fair thing to do? Should you say I've seen this before?
I have
seen multiple takes on this. Like, definitely seen women like, when I send you something in the group chat, don't tell me you saw this already. Like, just laugh with me. You know what I mean? And sometimes I lead with honesty, friends.
Yeah.
I just be like, oh, this is hilarious. I love this.
Yeah.
I've been laughing at this for decades.
It's really good. We have the same taste.
Yeah.
It's great.
Is that a no? Is that a faux pas?
I don't think so.
Should you be just like, ha, never seen it. You invented the internet. Yay.
you have found this treasure trove of gifts I've never seen.
I've never seen any of these before.
Nor have I obviously had them saved to my phone.
On the internet. I've seen this years ago.
I don't know. Yeah. I say let me know. I need to be reminded.
Okay.
Yeah, and take no offense. None.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
So much.
Yeah.
Are you?
I'm trying to get into the Slack, so sorry.
I was going to ask you, are you up to your, like, ears in Diddy? Like, are you over it right now? Is it, like...
You know what I'm over? I'm over the people covering it.
Oh, you need better... Better commentators.
I'm real over the people covering it. Like, but also, shout out to them. This is an industry. Like, people that are able to make it to the trial and do daily updates and that, you know, like, definitely what I'm seeing is lucrative. Like, and never seen so many super chats for, you know, just saying, like,
wow, okay,
thank you so much for doing this. So there are a few people that are there, and I appreciate just catching in, you know, catching up or whatever.
I haven't heard you mention Megan. Is she
She's not there.
She got better stuff to do.
I think this is in New York. Is the Diddy trial in New York?
I didn't know whether she traveled. I think it is in New York.
She's in LA and she got big stuff to do.
You know what?
There's always
I am that bad.
Megan always busy. Megan is always busy. When I say Megan, I'm speaking of Megan Cuniff. She is a reporter. And she came into my life because she was the only person giving daily coverage of the Tory Lanez trial.
Right.
And
comprehensive.
Yeah, very comprehensive. And like, I appreciate her ability to be like dealing with internet BS because she's literally just reporting. She's not giving opinion until she does, you know, but like in her reporting,
it's objective. Just
this is the things that happened today, or this is the thing and this is how it connects to what happened yesterday. It isn't biased reporting, right?
Which is really important because there's so much disinformation.
Right. When you are a biased supporter or whatever, like, folks went so hard on her
that,
like, I don't think that a lot of reporters, and especially court reporters, are looking to be known, like, when they walk down the street. No. You know what I mean? They're not looking for you. They don't want to be famous. They want to get the scoops.
Yeah.
And they, like, were relentless on her. Mm-hmm. And then Tory Lanez decided to say some things about her, then put her in a song, you know, like.
I didn't know she was in a song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop. Megan, you made it.
That's the route she went. Yeah, she was like, well, I guess I'm famous now, you know, put me in a song.
Yeah.
Her
being, you know, up against academics is kind of wild. You know, like you said, they're not seeking any fame or anything. They're just trying to do their job. And again, she provided a very objective, like, bare bones, like, this is what's happening. Regardless of what is being said on all these Twitch streams and YouTubes, this is actually what's happening. Guess what, guys? It's public record. You can look it up. I am not lying.
I don't know if you've seen this, but recently there is, like, this right-wing push behind Tory Lanez. And
what?
Oh, yeah. That's very much like, you know, the, I don't know, Biden Justice Department.
Oh.
Okay. Wow, I'm trying to think of what the tweet or thread or wherever I saw it. It was like, I don't have my phone.
I keep forgetting to start my true social account. But go ahead.
I mean, honestly, it's literally no need. There's no need to have a true social account because
it's all
he's going to get posted wherever you are.
Good point.
And nothing else coming out of there is worth being in there to see.
Nah, good point.
I still can't get in the Slack. So
yeah,
weird.
You're right. They're definitely sharing it all over the place. And
yeah.
Twitter's half of that.
Right. So I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was to the point of the rush to incarcerate an obviously innocent man. There's all this new evidence that they're going to provide. And I don't know about you, fiancés. I'm a true crime babe, you know?
It's where podcast journey started.
It is. I love me a whodunit. I love me a getting to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very rarely does the new evidence that was not presented in the trial come to light days after you've been sentenced.
Yeah, very rarely.
Also, just Tory Lanez's line. He shot Meg Thee Stallion, and then he apologized for it, and then realized probably not the best move on his part to say sorry for that.
On a recording.
On a jail recorded call, and then was like, well, actually, it wasn't me. And actually, she wasn't ever even shot. And now the new evidence is, in fact, she was shot. Ha ha! But not by me. It was by her friend, Kelsey, who I... Tory Lanez decided to protect two black women
from each other and the law,
from the justice system.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So I'm somebody, come get me. Let me out. Send help.
He'd have been better saying it was old man Johnson, and so, you know, who's got this real estate deal. And he's trying to, you know, scare everybody away from the property.
Bruh.
And, you know, and would have got away with it too. Wasn't for the dog and those meddling kids.
Those dang kids.
What are you talking, sir? Leave, at this point, leave us alone.
Leave us alone.
Leave us alone and do your time.
So I don't know what, well, no, I do know. Here's I'm going to give you my theory. Mm-hmm. There has been a very moneyed interest in getting black men red pilled, and has been going gangbusters.
Yeah,
okay,
doing really good.
Doing real good. Now, I'm not saying that the percentage of black men that have been red pilled and are of the incel red pill manosphere ilk is huge, but I'm saying it's growing.
Yeah.
And I think that this is part of that. And so to be for clarification. The entire point of the Manosphere is to uphold patriarchy, white supremacy, and capitalism.
Yeah.
And to, you know, really stamp the foothold of I'm in charge.
Yeah.
I'm in charge.
to the point of saying, you're saying like, you're not saying it like it's booming, but what is actually happening for sure, and what makes this more noticeable is that these red pill talking points are moving up the black media ladder and landscape.
Yes.
So you have higher platforms espousing these horrific, idiotic viewpoints. Whereas before, you know, this was like, I don't know, the back halls of a study, you know, study hall, you know, someone's on the smoke break somewhere. And there's the one or two people in the group that's like, you're always talking some weird stuff. Like, and now it's Joe Budden. Oh, man.
Exactly that. Yeah. Yes. When the most popular black podcaster is doing the, well, I don't know. Should I'm we be quiet? I'm just asking questions. I don't have an opinion on this. Your entire show is opinion based.
Yeah.
Entire show.
Yeah.
But you don't have an opinion on when men are abusing women or when your friend that or former friend is accused of things, you know, like no opinion then.
When I tell you, I got into a back and forth with a notable person in the Black Portland landscape with regards to you know, people rushing the judgment on Diddy, and he was
it is 2025. I'm sorry.
No.
Number one, too loud.
It's apologies. 1995.
It is 2025, and Diddy has been a part of our lives since 1992.
Yeah, true.
What is the rush? Where could the rush be?
Old boy said we need to wait for due process. I said
it's happening.
I said,
do you know what due process is?
I said, do you wait for due process to decide who is safe, who isn't safe to be in community with? You wait on due process for that?
Well, yeah, because I'm not gonna call you unsafe unless a judge tells me you're unsafe and withholds you from the community.
So that's at the same due process that got Zimmerman off. That's what you're
waiting for.
Okay, cool.
Probably
cool.
Yeah, because what I'd love to see is Diddy free. You know,
like, right?
I'd love to see that innocent black man no longer be persecuted.
Yeah, no. What video in the hallway? What's that? So I feel what you're saying now. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. The red pill game plan here, because it's like, why would y'all defend Tory Lane? Why? In what way? How does this roll into Trump's media empire? But now this makes complete sense.
Yeah, the more you can get people bought into the pillars of this country,
mm-hmm.
The more they're going to do to defend it, right? Yep. And those people are going to, like I said, they want to plant their flag. Those men want very badly to be powerful white men, so they are going to find their way to climb that ladder that doesn't exist, you know?
Correct.
And just hurt everybody in their community and themselves in the process. And this is the kind of, you know, thing where if you are too scared of the word patriarchy or to figure out what it means or to look into how it harms everybody, you are also being harmed in that process.
Right.
And you are being stunted. You know what I mean? Like, no system of oppression, even if it's built for specific people, includes all of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right, like, not every white man is a powerful, rich white man. So I don't know why other folks are like, well, it's almost my turn.
Yeah.
I also don't know why you want that turn. Like, I don't know why the turn you want is to be able to do what Diddy is doing or to do what Weinstein or Epstein or, you know, insert dude who got away with it for 20 plus years. I don't know why that's your goal. I don't know why you want that. Yeah. Even if for the people who don't do the questionable things anymore, right? You so badly want to run from the fact that you did some things and that not come to light, mm-hmm. that you'll just run other victims down in the process. You will stifle all sorts of things in the process and not realize that in the end, you're the big dummy.
One would think if the concern is for things that may be in your closet, you'd shut it up.
One would think.
You'd zip the lip.
One could think that.
Yeah, you'd bow out of all those conversations. Be like, ooh. One would think. But, alas.
I didn't say these were a bunch of smart people.
No, not by any means. Here we are.
And I think, you know, if you are wavering, if you are a guy or sons or nephews or brothers are really falling into that trap of even deeper misogyny and hatred for women, I don't know the full way to de-radicalize a person yet. From certain beliefs, but like,
I wouldn't know where to start.
It's really important that we are calling the things out as we see them, because seeing conservatives champion Tory Lanez,
wild,
in order to gather a handful of black men and women to be on their side, you know? I don't know. It's so disheartening. It's so disheartening. And it for so much of it is like, how are you not seeing the disingenuineness of this? These are the same people that were like, so what that Trayvon Martin was killed in two seconds?
Right. Why doesn't it bother you?
There's no connection made
that
these are
up.
The same people that are like, yes, come to my Klan rally.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, yes, I'll get you a hood. No problem. You don't have one? Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
Come on over.
That should be like an early, immediate, like alarm bells going off when you sign, you see yourself on the same side of the line with people that hate you.
Period.
And you're like, yeah, go Tory Lanez. And you look next to you and someone's got a hood on. Yeah, go Tory Lanez. And you're like,
Wait, why do you like Tory Lanez?
Is that, what's going on? Why are we here?
Every eyebrow, every goosebump, every hair on your neck should stand up. You should not be like finding common ground in that way.
Solidarity.
Certainly don't find no solidarity in protecting someone who shot a woman for no other reason than he was so drunk and angry.
Yeah.
No other reason. This is not a, what did she do to make him shoot her? She was out of a car. She got shot with her back turned. Yeah. Her turning around to face him.
And dude wanted to make it a scene from a movie. Yeah.
And actually, let me be very clear. She was shot with her back to him.
Yeah.
In the back of her feet. And on the Ring camera footage from someone in the neighborhood one of the houses, you can hear him say, dance.
Well, he was talking to Kelsey. He was telling Kelsey.
Yeah, well, that'd be a silly thing to say when you jumping out of the car to get the gun out of Kelsey's hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Dance.
That'd be a weird thing to yell.
I'm trying to distract you.
Oh!
Dance battle.
It's an SNL skit.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. A bad one. Neat.
Horrible.
My favorite kind.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should tell you what we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Get into a quick music break and then go into it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Debo, I mean, Prosper Portland flexed their muscles. Whoa, what a week.
Wowzer.
I don't know if it was I'm sure it was longer than a week, but felt like 17 months within the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Seeing the kind of flabbergasting disinformation being spread. And misinformation, very purposeful.
I am very excited to discuss that, especially you got a chance. You received the email that was meant to radicalize. And
oh boy, did I. The call to action, if you will.
Yes, you received the call to action.
Yes, I received a call to action directly to my inbox that felt very not right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading this. This doesn't seem... what? Yeah, we're definitely going to dig into that.
National news. Man, Louisiana, they've locked it down. They've locked down the national news right now for
us. y'all got the whole thing.
Sheesh.
It's everywhere. And honestly, I blame AJ. You know? Do you want to call in and let us know, you know, do you have a hand in this prison break? Did you attend the bubble protest? And do you have anything to say about the fact that the police have been spying on? And spying just doesn't even seem right. That doesn't seem heavy enough a word. Surveilling communities 365
Yeesh.
For 2 years that we know of.
Bruh.
And by that I mean using cameras all around the city.
Oh.
200 cameras with this one organization, and then that organization has tapped into however many cameras, uncountable, because we're not going to tell you that because I'm a private organization. I ain't got to tell you nothing. Anyway, I'm getting too far into the story. That is on me. But we're gonna be doing. We are gonna talk about, the police going directly behind the backs of their city council and doing the illegals.
Wow.
All in the name of law and order.
Listen. When I did it, it was the one time we had to locate the Joker. And I told Lucius,
really,
as soon as you get the pinpoint, you know, destroy this technology.
Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
The technology was destroyed?
Instantly.
Or was it handed off to the police departments around the country?
No.
Thank you for doing that, billionaire.
No.
We appreciate that you wanted to do that.
Lucius putting the codes in it, destroyed it.
All yeah.
Right. No way it fell into the hands of the cops.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure it didn't.
AJ sent a bunch of laughing faces.
Likely story. You're going to send laughing faces, but not answer for any of your crimes.
Story. All of a sudden, she got to spend an extra couple of days down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flights got delayed.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Going to head into a musical break. That was Tom Misch featuring De La Soul, Positives of De La Soul, produced by myself. In my yesteryears of doing production, you know, Tom hit me up and was like, "You still got that beat laying around?" And I was like, "Am I not DJ Ambush?" "Sure, I have that beat laying around, Tom Misch." And I sent it to him. And then I was like, "Do you want Positive News from De La's phone number to get on the track?" And he was like, "I've been trying to get in contact with this guy. He's hip hop royalty. I can't ever get in contact with him." And I was like, "What? Definitely hip hop royalty, but I have his pager number." So, shot past the text. He responded because, you know, only certain people have that pager number. And I made the collaboration happen. So, welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
You better preface it with something else. Like, this is a lie. This is story time. I mean, fan fiction. This is Ambush's fan fiction story time.
Sure.
Because none of that was true.
You're like, I'm going to explain to you why you should, and, you know. All right, sure.
I wish y'all could just know that he is looking, he's staring me down as if he's saying something that's A, makes sense, or B, is true. And I'm supposed to just like, I don't know, live with it?
Yeah, Kenneth. He's a casual lure drop. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Backstories abound.
The encouragement y'all give this man to just make things up is wild.
Thank you, Kenneth.
Grandpa Ambush, what's a pager?
Who said that? Rudo?
I gotta go. Thank y'all for listening to News with My Fiance. I didn't know. That is amazing.
That was Rudo.
Good morning, Rudo. Rudo said, morning, fam. What did I miss in the mess around? That is the free form first 30. Is that how radio people talk? It XOXO. Is. Rudo. Well, Harper's husband, you are, in fact, a radio person, so I think you do know how radio people talk. But I didn't know any of those words.
Yeah.
But yes, it is a Morgan and Ambush mess around. That is actually right. What this show should just be called.
Kenneth said, I've been ambush bamboozled. And it's true. It's true, Kenneth. I'm going to admit, that was some of my smoothest Thursday morning bamboozling. If I had to look back on previous Thursdays. Yeah. That was pretty smooth. Yeah. Took advantage of my radio voice. That was just, and then just rolled into tomfoolery.
It's what you do. You do a really great job.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Oh, he's so proud of himself right now.
Yeah.
I wonder if Dan Ryan is proud of himself for his show yesterday. While at work, being disrespectful to people who work within the community. I wonder if he's proud of himself this morning. Did any of y'all happen to see any of the city council 24-hour shenanigans, or, you know, whatever, the extended session? What do they call it?
I don't understand.
Work party.
I don't understand any of this. I have no desire to participate in any form of government that's going to have me in a meeting for 12 hours.
Well, I'll tell you this about that. You're not going to get a lot done.
Yeah.
When working by committee for 10, 12 hours. You're not.
No.
You're going to be wrecked. Your brain is not going to work. We know this.
Quick jump in. Okay. Michelle said, we slept in accidentally. Just wondering if you'd already spread the word about your Cole Reed interview.
Oh.
Shelly Shell. Thank you. See, this is what we're talking about. Production. Remote staff killing it. No, we didn't plug the Cole Reed interview yet. We didn't. But we will.
I feel like you should just do it right now.
So Monday night, Raw Live, we had Cole Reed from Open House on the show. Our first in studio guest. It was amazing. The episode is up both on, you know, all podcast distribution networks and on our YouTube. I'm going to check out the whole thing there. It was an amazing, amazing interview. The energy was just great. And the clips, I went through Opus Clip, got like 16 clips yesterday as I was combing through it. More laughs upon laughs. Just, yeah, it's going to be great. But yeah, definitely check out the interview. Thank you, Michelle, for bringing that up. Because it did. I don't know how it slipped my mind, but it definitely did. Yes. And then we also talked about the upcoming live event that's going to be taking place at Open House on the 31st that we'll be hosting and doing live podcast sessions from. So yeah. Okay. Boom.
Well, let's get into the Prosper story because, wow. Prosper Portland just dodged an $11 million budget cut but not without catching serious heat from city leaders over its lack of oversight. During a tense and emotional city council budget session Wednesday night, a proposal from councilors, well, this proposal didn't come yesterday, to be clear. Proposal from councilors Jamie Dunphy and Mitch Green to swap all general fund dollars from the city that they that Prosper receives to their own $50 million strategic investment fund failed, despite growing frustration about Prosper's independence and spending priorities. So here's the deal. Two city council members got creative and realized a space they could save money without cutting services, and basically said to Prosper Portland, hey, times are tight. Y'all need to fund yourselves this year using that fat strategic investment fund you're sitting on. And that seemed reasonable. Like, if your house's budget is in a crisis, you dip into savings if you have it. That is very basic adult work.
Yeah.
An adult workaround.
Yeah.
Very, very basic. But Prosper Portland basically said, nah, we good. We don't take orders from you. And reminded everybody that they're not a city bureau. They've got their own board of commissioners and don't actually have to do what the council says, even though they're 100% publicly funded.
Wild.
An independent agency living off taxpayer dollars, but completely insulated from democratic accountability. That sounds real American. So now we're all watching they galvanized, and we watched Prosper throw a full-blown tantrum, fear-mongering about how cutting their general fund dollars will defund programs for Black and brown small business owners. They're sending out manipulative emails like, my people's market might disappear unless you pressure City Hall. Let's be clear. No one is defunding anything. That wasn't even the call. I'll come back to that. Council simply said, use the other bag. Just use the other bag this year. Like, yeah. You have money. We don't have money right now. Take money from your money for 1 year. And they were like, nah, we're not doing that. So to be all the way clear, Prosper has a $50 million strategic investment fund. That's a revolving loan fund meant to support small businesses citywide, especially when times are hard. That time is now.
Right.
And their response was, they'd rather make cuts to popular programs than to touch that money. And that tells you where their priorities are. That tells you. It doesn't matter what they say or what the email says, and that they're just trying to make sure that small businesses have the support that they need. They are telling you, nah, we good. That's not actually our priority. Their interim director admitted in writing that they're not using the fund because they don't believe council will make them whole later. So instead, they're trying to make the community panic. And guess who gets caught in the middle? Black, Indigenous, and people of color business owners, again, being used as political pawns again. And they're out here weaponizing our communities, talking about defunding to save their power, not your business. And I just want to add in, because there's so many different things that Prosper is supposed to do. But I don't think that they are truly supposed to be a gatekeeper to money and resources. They are supposed to be creating economic development. And if all they do is then use the same people that they have harmed over and over, and admittedly harmed over and over, very purposely harmed, you do not just get to rebrand and then keep doing the same things. They were funding Venture Portland,
which was news to me.
As far as I can tell, does the same thing. just on a smaller scale. But even when they scaled up huge, they did not scale up the amount of money and support that they were giving to businesses. So I need y'all to really understand what that means. So if Venture Portland goes from having a $300,000 budget to a $1.2, $1.3, $1.5 million budget, and nearly 800,000 of that budget goes to salaries and work, just, you know, business expenses, and $100,000 is going out to multiple businesses to split across multiple businesses or districts for Venture Portland. So Prosper is funding their little cousin to do the same exact thing. And for me, that shows what the job is to actually be a stopgap, is to actually be a gatekeeper, is to actually choke hold the resources. Because you out here giving big loans to big ideas that are not going to come to fruition because they are a lie and a money grab. And you allow a company or organization to come in and buy two buildings for double the cost or the worth. That's the way that you foster economic development. Is throwing money at things that aren't happening and not giving any of the businesses that are actually struggling and just trying to make it resources outside of a lunch and learn? And this really exposes just how little control Portland's elected officials have over Prosper Portland. And that's not how public dollars are supposed to work.
Right.
And I wish this was the moment when, you know, all of the conservatives and or they don't even consider themselves that, I don't know, the free thinkers out there that are like this, nonprofit industrial complex must be stopped. We need to get a hold on this. This isn't how tax dollars should work. You got no smoke. No smoke for how it's actually being the actual corruption of it all.
Right.
And I'm not using that word the way that Trump uses that word or any of his minions. I mean, if your entire point is to foster economic development, give dollars to people. Those businesses, give them money. What do you have a humongous budget for if you are supposed to give the money out and then you sit on it? It's amazing that Prosper Portland does in fact understand that, because that's what they said is the reason they're not going to give Venture any money anymore.
Right.
Like, these are our tax dollars. There's enough money. There's enough money that we would not have to live in the conditions that we are living in. But the way that so much of this is set up and why folks really need to understand that under capitalism, this is the only way it goes. The nonprofits are just doing capitalism, but they don't pay taxes. Including the nonprofits that are supposed to, or that are just like full-blown grifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, imagine going from a staff, and this is Venture Portland that I'm talking about, going from a staff of 5 to 17, but you do not build out your services and you do not give out more money. You decide, actually, we need more staff We need better buildings. We, you know, work
environment or whatever.
Exactly. But maybe what we'll do is figure out ways to give people resources that aren't money. We don't need more of that. We don't need more of that. We don't need another landing page that's a nonprofit that is, we are a network. Mm. We're networking businesses together. We don't need more of that. Your small business does not need to pay some random dude to run a splash page that then is going to supposedly connect your businesses.
You mean there's no benefit to me being in the directory?
Do you know how many directories there are? And there isn't one that is more comprehensive than Mercatus, which is through Prosper Portland! So if Prosper Portland is funding other businesses to do the same thing they do, what are we doing? Why would that be a good idea that somebody on the grant panel says, let's go? This is so much bigger than budgets and line items and, you know, frivolous things like that. This is the way that this is constructed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have made it an all-powerful being on its own.
I think the part about this that sits the least well with me was the call to action that you received as someone who applied to have a booth at Prosper Portland. So, I mean, at My People's Market. So there's like almost, 200 vendors?
Yeah.
That are part of the markets. Depending on where the market is, you know, there's sometimes even more than that. You know, when we do it at the Red, it's outside. It's more, you know, more space to work with. But in any event, I saw some activity on social media with people who have been connected to Prosper or benefit from Prosper at some point, you know, been in any type of relationship with them, jumping up at this opportunity to, you know, make sure they were heard. At the city council meeting, there was a petition that went around or a letter of support that went around that people were signing. And shout out to Joy Elise from Imagine Black.
Forever and always, shout out Joy Elise.
Brought a lot of clarity to the conversation because, yeah, the misinformation that was spread neglected to point out that Prosper made a choice to threaten taking away My People's Market and other things that you know, benefit the communities that they're supposed to be serving. They made a choice to put that on the table versus dig into their reserves for a year.
1 year.
For one budget cycle. They made a choice and then they quickly got that messaging out to you guys and boom, people started moving on it. And here we are.
So I'll just say as, getting that email, it was like, whoa, what's happening here?
Yeah.
It's branded for the market and it's very specifically on some. This thing will never be the same again if this happens. What's at risk? A lot for small businesses. My People's Market. Funding for business support for partners like Built Oregon, Livelihood Northwest, NAYA, Hacienda, and the whole Inclusive Business Resource Network. And the Office of Small Business. Sorry, I was trying... Says, Councillor Green and Councillor Dunphy have proposed an amendment to cut 100% of general fund from Prosper Portland's budget and instruct Prosper Portland's board to use the Strategic Investment Loan Fund to pay for all programming that would be cut. Cutting general fund to swap with strategic fund leaves programs vulnerable and removes any and all long-term commitment by the Portland City Council to invest in the stability of Portland's small businesses and events and film industry. Without this funding, My People's Market would end as you know it.
That's wild. That's wild. That's a decision. That is a decision.
Sam literally said, no, well, so we just won't do any of it. We won't do any of those things.
Sit on our hands.
Because you want us to use our own money? You out of your mind.
Mind you, we've hosted My People's Market last 3 years. Yeah. Yeah, like, we see the benefits of it. We understand how impactful it is to those vendors. And also for the community of people that comes out, that come out and support and spends money local. So if we, again, we're on the receiving end of seeing this great work, what does it say to those that people that would use that goodwill and use that work as a point of leverage to say, hey, you know what? Do things our way, or we're just going to stop it. How much do you believe in the work?
You don't.
I guess what I'm asking. You know what I'm saying? Like,
thank you for bringing it around, because this is a thing that I'm not going to get away from, because they have not done enough to redeem themselves as an organization. Mm. They will never make up for the harm that they've done to Black, Indigenous, and people of color in communities in this city. And the reason they won't is because they don't want to. They can tell you that is their goal, but they are obviously not in any way working towards that goal. Because if the very first thing that you are with, by any small piece of adversity, and this is not that, I need y'all to be real clear, this is not that. You are not being asked to do something that is completely out of the scope of something you should be doing.
Right.
In all honesty, if you are sitting on that kind of money, you should have went to the city council and said, yo, what if we fund ourselves for a year? Can you guarantee us that you will fund us next year?
Right. But it sounds like they want more than that. They want to be reimbursed.
They want reimbursement.
For the year they're not funded.
The fam literally said they're not going to make us whole. They're not supposed to.
Right.
Be made whole? For operating? When you guys are doing nothing to make whole the communities that you destroyed, be for real for once. You can do 100 rebrands, but if you are just doing capitalism, you are just doing capitalism, and that means we are going to be harmed first and worst. Sorry, I'm screaming. They're making the frogs gay.
You know? What?
Alex Jones.
Oh my gosh.
I just realized I was screaming like that.
Rudo said, Morgan's My People's Market massacre.
No!
Slippery bubble fluid all over the event. Center's concrete floor.
I mean, littered, I did put chairs
here. Children's crumpled little bodies.
Okay, first of all, Rudo, don't come on here doing that. Okay?
Totally.
That was a very mutual bubble fight that was had with me and a 4-year-old.
Yeah. The bubble guns were out. It was pretty cool.
And she won.
Yeah. Nah, she took you. She took you to town.
She won.
Yeah. She chased you. I remember you running. That was so
and
good.
And I
was
almost
so good
slipped, and I was like, okay, this is dangerous.
No, that you made the time of her life.
We had a great time.
When she was running you down, and you're like,
She's gonna get back. I don't ever want to not have those experiences within my community, right?
Right, right.
And you sending these fear-mongering emails, very targeted. Because I can only imagine what other sections of their email list got.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this one was like, here, let's make it easy for you. Here's a sample of what you need to do. Send this to your district person. Here's their email. Here's a map of the districts. Make sure you're heard. The weaponization, literally, of like saying defunded is wild work. That's wild work from a group that is supposedly rooted in understanding the community and doing what they're supposed to support and uplift and every other, you know, amplify, all the words that mean absolutely zero.
Not amplify. You got to chill out. You got to chill out with amplify.
They mean nothing.
You got to. That's supposed they to be.
Are, they're literally words just rolling off of, you know. I'm so tired of the thesaurus use. Oh. How many synonyms can I use for I'm not going to do anything?
AJ said, keep screaming. P-Town said, MJ, there is more than enough money. When they have these massive budget and hordes of hidden pills of money in a director's bank account.
That's what I'm saying.
And then they held the market, my people's market, hostage, asking folks that are most affected by their dastardly deeds.
Asking us to then do their work for them to get them more power.
Right.
That the folks of my people's market in the vendors are not going to see a difference.
No.
They're going to do all that work for you for free, and then what? You're going to take some money off their booth rent?
Right.
What are you going to do?
I guess the true
what do they get for that free labor?
A true testament would be, was there a thank you email sent out?
I ain't get one. But, you know, maybe if I would have signed the stupid petition or something, who knows?
I'm curious.
In all honesty, seeing this made me furious. Furious. They end the email by saying, of Prosper Portland's overall lending, 64% of the number of loans and 59% of the total loan amount went to BIPOC borrowers. That translates to me like, don't mess up, y'all. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, babe. Ooh. What they're not telling you is how much money they gave out. Because I don't care about your microloan. I don't care about $1,000. You ain't helping nobody. But do understand that if you are not actually going to commit yourself and this organization to giving dollars to the community of business owners that you pretend to care about, this unchecked power is a whole different ballgame. That's a lot. That is a uniting issue.
Yep.
And this is such a gross weaponization that, like, multiple people can see this before you really have to explain it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's many people can immediately be like, wait a minute, what is that? What are you saying about that?
Yeah, if this alone doesn't turn into its own story that ends up in the Mercury, I'd be surprised. Like, just the campaign that came together so quickly to galvanize. Like, if that alone doesn't become its own story, I will be quite, quite surprised. Rudo said, synonym Toast Crunch. It's what's for breakfast.
My synonyms, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I'm big mad.
I am big.
And I'm big mad because Portland is so performative in all of its progress that this is the kind of thing that so many people can see coming from miles away. This is why it's hard to trust any organization talking about economic development, because they don't mean it, number one, and it certainly don't mean me, number two. And if it doesn't mean Black people, it don't mean y'all. Because at some point, you're on that list. The chokehold, the amount of legacy places here that just get to sit on money. Poverty is a policy choice, and they chose. They're choosing actively, loudly. We will not actually invest in you. Not if it means coming from something. That's not even their money. They didn't earn it. Right. You know what I'm saying? This isn't like You're but
so it returns from the first quarter.
Right. It's a legitimate slush fund. And you, if it takes $11 million for you to operate in a year and you're sitting on 50 and the city is sitting on a big old deficit, what in the world do you mean this will be the end of everything we've ever known? This will be the end of the things that we brought to you as you know it. If that ain't some empire talk, if you don't get out my face. Like, this should radicalize you. This should definitely have you feeling a way. Peep the rebrand. Pay attention to what have they done way different than knock down communities to put up parking lots. Uh-oh. To displace black and brown folks all over this city. For high rises that sit empty.
Uh-oh. She brought up old ish. She brought up historical precedents. Uh-oh.
That's your legacy.
Track record.
Do you want to do better? You have the opportunity.
Yeah.
But the actions are loud. And the people in cahoots are loud. And unfortunately, I see a lot of black folks being missing the point. I see a lot of black folks waiting their turn. And I'm sorry that if you just don't understand that what the turn actually means is to be someone else's oppressor, I'm sorry that you don't get that, but that's the turn you're waiting for. You cannot small business your way out of being a threat to the police. You cannot small business your way out of the racism that is deeply, deeply embedded in even the interactions you have that you pretend aren't racist. I don't ever want to be on the side of Dan Ryan. I don't want Dan Ryan to support me in anything I do because that person doesn't support other people in real life. He weaponizes his identity and then does real foul things while at work, like call the Portland Children's Levy a giving circle.
Wow.
While Equitable Giving Circle is there trying to get funding. A giving circle, you say? Wildly disrespectful. Wildly disrespectful. Wild abuses of power dynamics. To my point, the Oregon Food Bank, who has had scandal after scandal of giving expired, moldy, non-edible food, continues to get funded as other community organizations are out here begging for dollars while they are giving fresh produce, actual food that you can eat that is nutritious, not boxes of ramen.
Right.
But if you have healthy communities, it's harder to oppress those communities. If your kids are eating good, nutritious food, it's harder to corrupt the mind from whatever angle that they're going. And I know this, I probably sound wild now, but it is absolutely all connected.
Absolutely.
There is no reason that a organization like Equitable Giving Circle isn't funded all the way from the city on its own. It does not need the kind of budget that these other places are getting that they just then sit on. The amount of things that Black people are able to do and get together mutual aid-wise for each other the creativity it takes, the imagination that it takes, the amount of help that happens without million-dollar, you know, multi-million-dollar budgets, they are so much more impactful, so much more important than having an office with 17 people and that don't do anything all day. Or I guess what they do is figure out, you know, the slide deck for the lunch and learn.
Right.
And how you can form your board as your nonprofit. It's disgusting and it's not serious. Like, I'm supposed to respect those people for being, because they got a, I don't respect that man. And I don't respect anybody on the council who doesn't think, doesn't see the value of organizations that are this impactful, all to just continue to do the same thing that's been happening. The entire point of changing the way the city council works here was so it didn't do the same thing the old city council did. I'm sorry, I'm ranting.
You got a text. Yes, don't get me started on the OFB. A grassroots, this is signed, a grassroots CBO leader. Sheesh.
The OFB. Boy. Real old DB. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Real moldy.
Mm.
Real expired.
Mm.
Real funded. That need to, I mean, get the slogans going. Lily, get the jingles.
Get the jingles.
Because in all honesty, these are things that if you are not impacted and you don't need to go to a food bank, you don't have any reason to know any of this. You don't have a reason necessarily to know that the Oregon Food Bank is doing its worst. You don't need, do you have any reason to know that there are really small organizations that are doing hugely impactful work and you have no idea?
Mm-hmm.
But a city that works is a city that's supposed to care about the people that live here and help them. And again, there is more than enough money. Nobody talked about taking money away from the police the way they needed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not the way that needs to happen. The police do not need to continue to be more funded when all of the data says they do not do any of the things that we are paying them to do. And this is just more of it, I guess, is my point, and why I'm so upset. Is that even in the moments where you're like, okay, I think this place might be here to help, they're not. Like, you just hoarding resources is not cute. And showing alignment with that kind of ideology is wild. No, I'm not going to go into my wallet. I know I have the money here, and I know you left your wallet at home, but I'm not going to do it. You can go wash dishes.
Blobfish said, sadly, we've seen what happens when BIPOC communities create their own commons in our capitalistic system.
Hello.
See also Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Exactly that. Exactly that. You want so badly to help these underserved communities to a point. Because don't let those businesses scale too much. They can't be at My People's Market anymore, right? Don't let those businesses actually succeed the way you say you want them to. They won't be available to be your prop.
Mm.
And this is not, I need to be real clear. This is not me talking about the team of My People's Market in any way or any other groups that are funded by Prosper Portland. Shout out to y'all for getting funded.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally about, this system doesn't work, but it is very purposeful. And the fact that they are insulated in this way, 100% funded by our tax dollars and 100% no accountability is wild. And if they didn't have that tinge of DEI, they didn't have that tinge of we're actually doing the work. A lot of folks would be looking at it like, what's going on over here? Don't let the performance fool you.
Music break?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be doing one of those music breaks. Be right back. And we are back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Right here on X-Ray FM. Woo. Man. That was a good, I wouldn't say that's a good first half, but it's a good majority of the show. We are going to close out with this story. What's happening with the police down in NOLA?
Louisiana.
Yeah. For 2 years, New Orleans Police Department secretly used a live facial recognition surveillance program, the first known of its kind in a major U.S. city. This program relies on over 200 privately owned cameras operated by Project NOLA, a nonprofit crime prevention group. These cameras continuously scan public places, alerting police in real time via an app when they detect a match with the database of wanted suspects.
Mm.
This approach violates a 2022 New Orleans City Ordinance, which strictly limits facial recognition use to still image scans and violent crime investigations, and only through a state-run facility with oversight and reporting requirements. The live surveillance system was never disclosed to the public or City Council, and many of the resulting arrests, including some of the nonviolent crimes, were not reported as well. The system was paused in April 2025 after internal review raised concerns. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick acknowledged the issue and pledged a formal investigation into the extent of the program's use and legality.
They got to get to the bottom of it, you know?
The police are going to investigate the police.
I got to put it on pause. Yeah, I got to get to the bottom of this one.
They publicly denied managing or condoning the use of AI-based real-time facial recognition. Critics, including the ACLU, warned this is a dystopian example of unchecked police surveillance, especially concerning giving facial recognitions well-documented racial and gender biases and history of wrongful arrests. The program database of 30,000-plus suspected and known criminals was compiled privately by Project NOLA, which has no formal agreement with the city and no official oversight.
Workaround.
Although facial recognition technology is becoming more common, these cities and states explicitly banned its real-time use. The case exposes the difficulty of regulating such surveillance technology, especially when private actors collaborate with law enforcement outside of legal frameworks. I feel like this case exposes law enforcement.
This case is literally to expose law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
Let me give you a little background, a little color, if you will. I'll be as quick as possible.
A little color. I love that.
Can I just say really quickly that my uncle was a color commentator, and as a kid, I had no idea. I just thought that was racist. I didn't know.
No, why they called him that. Mean, yeah. It makes
I was
sense.
Like, what does that even mean? What do you mean he's an announcer? Or he's. I didn't understand.
Is he a commentator of color? What are we doing here?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
That's actually hilarious.
Anyway, this absolutely exposes the police for who the police are. And likely none of you listening to this will be like, oh, no, the police did a crime? That is crazy. But this explicitly goes against what the city council put in place. And they simply did it behind their backs. Like, just... on some sneaky link, you know? Hey, If we don't officially contract or partner with this Project NOLA, then individual cops use it. So then the company doesn't have to disclose any of their data and cops don't mention it on their reports. So then there's absolutely all of zero oversight. They're not telling the DA, they're not putting it in a report. So then the DA later, oh, wait a minute. You said you found this on but AI. Wait, I don't know. Can I use this?
Bruh.
The company is a former law enforcement fellow, of course, who was, you know, retired, but real sick of the crime. Just absolutely can't stand it. Now I'm going to figure out how I can stop this crime while I'm retired. So he got a huge investment from, you know, some neighbor, someone who was like not in my backyard or my front yard. Let me give you money for both to watch my yard. Big investment. Dude buys a bunch of cameras that have facial recognition technology. He then is able to or goes and chats with local businesses. Can I put a camera on your business? Oh, you already have cameras? Can I tap into your feed?
Bro.
So this particular place, you know, organization owns 200 cameras, but they have access to up to 5,000. And they're just surveilling. They're doing exactly what they do in London, but everyone in London knows it's happening.
Right, right.
And everyone in New Orleans was like, huh? Never heard of it. What are you talking about? You can see the cameras for sure. You can absolutely question, why are there so many lights on that camera? What's happening? Why is it moving so rapidly?
Right.
But if you have no idea where it's going or what it's for, right? You don't know that it's actively surveilling you and going to a, you know, control room in this dude's warehouse or whatever. The company itself boasts assisting in 34 arrests. But because the cops aren't citing and putting this in their reports, some have, most have not. There's no way to actually audit this. And if any of this sounds familiar, it might, because in San Francisco, cops in other cities were asking, or they were, San Francisco City Council said the same thing. Absolutely not. You cannot do that. Mm-hmm. So they just asked their neighbors, you know, neighboring, what are they called? Not departments, but.
County
or. Yeah, but yeah.
Precinct.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, you got any of that facial recognition technology?
Laying around.
Looking for this guy.
Yeah.
The way that they were doing this is wild, though. And I do just want to make sure that we explain this. The police would get notified. Let me be clear. The police that had the app on their phone with notifications on would receive a notification on this app live of, there's a crime doing right now. There's a crime. We're seeing it. Or this person is wanted for a warrant. This person is standing outside of the store right now. And don't y'all want him?
Right.
Go pick him up. They would also be able to, as officers, if they didn't get that tip and they go and they, you know, realize they need to track a suspect down, they just call that guy. They call that guy and he does the minority report, pull up all of the different facial recognition things and file through real fast. And then, oop, bing, there's your person.
Man.
Right now, if you'll remember, we talked about Juror 35 in a case here in Portland, in Multnomah County, who had questions about the use of technology in deliberation. That they were zooming the videos that were the surveillance footage. And a the expert witness, I can't remember what his full title was, but it was in representations. Like, he basically was explaining that a pixel is a pixel, right? And that what the AI does to it, and that was its own little thing. They were like, this is a picture, not an algorithm. But that what it is intended to do is to fill the blanks. Yeah. There's X amount of pixels. When you zoom it, you are adding pixels. So the AI algorithm is just filling what it thinks should be filled. That does not, in fact, mean that what it has done is showing you a true representation of what happened.
Right.
And we absolutely know you cannot go past it. I know you said it, but cannot go past just how impacted you are. The darker you are, the heavier you are. Like, there is... They are not making... none of the AI that we are seeing, right? They're not doing it for accuracy. Right. In any of the fields. ChatGPT ain't doing it for accuracy.
The baby videos, none of it.
The baby videos.
None of it's done for accuracy.
So here we are again with the police doing, going directly behind the city council to do something illegal, to do something that the elected city officials said you cannot do. And what's the, you know.
What's the recourse? What's the penalty?
What's the accountability of something like this look like after people have been falsely arrested? After people have been potentially incarcerated.
We
don't get to have, we don't get to have an actual understanding of how many because the humans lie.
Right. The officers that use the app, like specifically, like what's the penalty? This isn't something that was optional to you. You purposely went around the guidance from city council knowingly and was using this app. Why do you get to continue to police? Oh, I'm so sorry. I know why. Because it's criminality and that's what they do any other day. This is no different.
No different.
Sorry, it falls within the job description. I gotcha. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Yeah, man. Not cool business. Not at all. I don't like it. I do not like it. P-Town said, where is it?
I don't know what you want to read, but I'm reading this while you look.
Go ahead.
Bro, ambush, here it comes. This is exactly what the cops have wanted all along, to crime while copying.
Yeah. Yes. See, now the police will police with apps and drones. That's not what this tech is for, guys. That's not the future that I wanted. That's not what I wanted my drones doing. We're moving really quick towards Metalhead, and I don't like it. Yeah, they started doing that in New York, I believe. I want to say it started in New York, or maybe that was the first instance that I heard of it, when they were talking about using drones, the police were using drones to fly over people's backyards and to observe our activities in our backyards during, like, barbecues and, you know, summertime happenings to see if there's anything illegal happening. And we were like, what are you talking about? No warrant, just flying over to see who's smoking weed back here, or, you know.
Right.
Like, it's just like, what?
There's some smoke back there. Is that a grill or reefer?
Right. You guys know the devil's lettuce is still illegal.
I can't believe this. I'm sure happy I used this multiple $1,000 drone to find out that you're going to get a ticket. Like, what? What?
Bruh.
But in all honesty, it's terrifying. And for someone like me who gets excited by technology and then immediately reminded like that, nope, never mind. No, we don't get the flying car. No, yeah. We don't get to do, you know, same day delivery with a drone or whatever. I don't mean that from Amazon or anything, but yeah. Like the ability to do things quickly with technology is important. But under capitalism, it can only go bad because you must oppress. You can't, you have to.
It all comes at a cost. Again, just making drone technology accessible to the public, you got to imagine what was being done with it, what has been done with it, you know, historically before we even had access to it.
Right.
So now at the coronation, I believe it was for the new Pope. There were these photos of some of the guards out there holding these guns that looked like something from like Starship Troopers. And people were like, what type of gun is that? What even is that security person holding? And immediately I knew what it was. I was like, that's an anti-drone gun. That's an EMP. That's an EMP gun. So no one could fly drones in over the coronation. Nah. Boop.
Pop it out of the sky.
Pop it right out the sky, bro. I was like, yeah. Yeah. So
with
yeah.
sound. Right?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's sound, but yeah.
Well, but isn't that part of that technology? Is it or maybe I'm
there's right. a variation of it, yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
I was just gonna say
but it like, sends an electromagnetic what Kyle pulse.
Reminded me of.
Mm-hmm. It sends an electromagnetic
oh,
pulse.
Right. Just,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get all of these different acronyms down.
You're there, man.
All of the different ways that the state will, you know, corrupt technology and make it all to be able to oppress and exploit us later.
Bruno said, well, speaking for the police, if you would invite us to your cookouts.
No.
Wow, thank you guys.
We know what happens when we invite cookout.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah, y'all want to us to record you videos playing basketball with our kids. Not doing it. Thank you guys for participating in another episode of News My Fiance. Brought to you by Morgan Jones and myself, DJ Ambush.
Hold on, let me real quick. Mm-hmm. I think this is P-Town said, ooh, Shot Blaster, which reminded me of ShotSpotter. And I just wanted to say that ShotSpotter is the same thing as this other surveillance thing. And you cannot allow these things to continue to come into cities and ruin them. Okay, thank you. Bye.
And our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
Thank you so much, everyone, for your texts. We didn't get the chance to read them all. Really, really good stuff came in throughout the entire show. Updating the playlist of music for this morning. And yes, do not let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And we will not catch you next Monday at 6:30 because we're taking that Monday off. We're taking it off.
Holiday
it's
teams.
A holiday take. It's holiday take. Yes.
We're going to have a cookout that Rudo is not invited to.
Wow.
Thanks for listening. Bye.